Sam Hargraves, Bryce McGain with you for Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Wilson Homes, great designs. You'll love being home. And our good friends at Kia, the seven-seat Kia Sorento, large SUV, and it would not be a Sports Day without the McDonald's. The El Macco is backo, available now at Macca's. One man who was all across the AFL draft, Bryce McGain. He does a ripping job for Fox Footy, for Fox Sports, and one of the real up-and-coming callers too. His work with the AFLW is as sharp as there is. Benny Waterworth's a very good man, and he's been good enough to join us. Benny, hello, mate.
G'day, Sam. G'day, Bryce. Nice to talk to you on a Friday night.
Great to chat to you. So this draft, I felt like that this draft not only had real wins, I think one of the most astute drafts for a lot of clubs in the way that they went about it, but I felt like it was maybe one of the more feel-good drafts that we've had. Mm. So many great stories, Benny, all throughout it. And was that a record amount of father-sons? I don't know what the official, the record number is, but it felt like a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot. I don't think it's a record, but there was certainly a good amount of father-sons as well, with Will Ashcroft and Jasper Fletcher going in the first round on Monday night, which is kind of how it most expected. And then the two Davey boys as well. So Alwyn Davey was expecting to try and maybe get a bid, maybe sort of in the second round, but he actually kind of slid to about pick 45 in the end, which is a little bit later from probably what the Bombers were expecting. And then the Bombers, from what I understand, had actually committed to taking Jaden Davies, who is Alwyn's brother, with the last pick of their national draft campaign. So, and then obviously North Melbourne took Cooper Harvey, the son of the great Brent Harvey, with their last pick in the national draft as well. But yeah, the Lions, I think from a father-son perspective, benefiting big time from one of the great rules in footy with, I think, clearly the best player in the draft. I know he went to pick two, Will Ashcroft, but I think he's head and shoulders the best player in the draft. Just think Sam Walsh. And we know Sam Walsh had a terrific first year as an AFL player, played all 22 games, averaged 25 touches, won the Rising Star. I think Will Ashcroft's very capable of doing exactly the same thing in his first year. And then Jasper Fletcher might take a little bit longer in terms of, you know, we're seeing him at AFL level. He's just had a back stress fracture setback, but he should be training pretty soon, and I think we'll see him next year as well. Yeah, but you're right. The father-son rule, Sammy, is one of the best rules in the AFL, and we get to see it in its full exposure on draft night.
A very good evening to you, Ben. What was the big surprise in the first round for you?
I think the big surprise was that Elijah Hewitt, who is a Western Australian prospect, was taken by the West Coast Eagles with their second pick. So basically the first 13 picks of the night went to script. Jasper Fletcher may have got a bid. The Western Bulldogs put a bid on Jasper Fletcher pretty early on. People think there might be a little bit of mind games, a bit of payback for the Brisbane Lions pinching Josh Dunkley during the trade period. but for mine, I think that Elijah Hewitt, who was looking like a bit of a slider, like a couple of recruiters told me that, you know, Hewitt was off the draft board for a lot of clubs just overall, but was pretty high on others. But they were kind of expecting his draft range to be between, you know, pick 10 and pick 40. He had a massive draft range. So to go to pick 14 at the West Coast Eagles, I think was pretty good. And then I think Collingwood were absolutely rapt that they got Ed Allen with their first pick of the draft. I think it was about pick 19 in the end. Allen had interest from as early as Geelong at pick 7. So I think the Pies were stoked that he was still on their draft board, Ed Allen, who's the son of Ben Allen, of course, the former Fremantle and Hawthorn player and former Fremantle coach, 194-centimetre utility who can play in any third of the ground. I didn't quite get enough games for the father-son there at the Hawks. He fell a couple of games short there, Ben Allen, to get his son there. But Ed Allen's going to be a terrific acquisition. And, you know, a WA guy going over Victoria, but there is no issues from a go-home perspective with Ed Allen. He's a ripping character, really impressed clubs with interviews. So I think Collingwood would be pretty happy that they've picked up the son of a gun.
Well, it seems like Ed Allen maybe gets his height from his mother's side, because I can't remember Ben being that big. But having said that, you mentioned the Bulldogs there. They that they maybe pulled and forced the hand of the Brisbane Lions a bit with Fletcher. Now, Sydney, they ruffled a lot of feathers, didn't they? They did similar stuff all the way through. Mm. This is very, what would you say, it's very American. It happens a lot in American drafting, but it's the first time that a club's really gone hard out here and thrown it and thrown some other clubs around.
Yeah, really interesting. So you talk to Kinnear Beetson, who's been, you know, who's an old hand at this He's been doing this for a long time, the Sydney Swans list boss. And, you know, to go back to your earlier question about, you know, the biggest surprise, Bryce, like Harry Rowston, the Giants Academy prospect, getting a bid at pick 16 was a big surprise for people. I had him getting a bid in the first round, probably, you know, a couple of bids later. I'd heard some clubs were pretty... We're pretty interested in Harry Rowston, who's the top of Giants Academy prospect, being compared to Tim Taranto with his ability to sort of go forward and midfield. But yeah, the Swans pulled the trigger a lot earlier. I think the Swans, I was predicting the Swans to pull it maybe with their second pick, but they pulled it with their first pick and made the Giants pay. And essentially, well, during the previous draft selection, the Swans called the Giants and essentially gave them an ultimatum saying, you know, match the bid or do a trade with us, really. And that's kind of where it was at. Where is that? And the third option being, you know, let us take Harry Rowston. They're prepared to take Harry Rowston. Kinnear Beetson will say that he was, you know, he was next on our draft board and we were prepared to pick him. That's sort of, so you've got to take him at his word from that perspective. But I certainly know that the Rowston camp was very, very surprised that they got such an early bid to the point where Rowston's dad was actually on the tractor doing some late-night work when Rowston actually received the bid. Wasn't even expecting to see any first-round action. So that's how much of a surprise it was for the Rowston camp.
Little Birdie told me that it was very much about keeping the Giants accountable and making sure they paid full freight. Same with the bid that they put on Max Michelinie. I was just surprised that Sydney traded away that pick in the end and gave it to Hawthorn because given that Josh Kennedy is on the way out and their midfield was brutalised in the grand final, I thought a big-bodied mid would have been very high up on the draft order board for the Swans, and they didn't go there. So that was a surprise to me. But, Benny, some of the feel-good stories of the draft, I said there was a heap. We've spoken about the father-sons. And you take your pick out of Joe Richards, Tom Emmett, Steely Green, Jed Buslinger, and even Max Grzuski, who had the Landy and Clark moment with Lewis Hayes at the Combine. Yeah. What was the feel-good story of the draft for you?
Oh, really hard to pick one, but it is hard to go past Joe Richards, a guy who is a 23-year-old school teacher. This is nuts, right? A 23-year-old school teacher was today in his first training session at Collingwood. He'd been playing country footy for the past few years in the Owens and Murray Football League, was signing autographs at Olympic Park today.
That's awesome.
Just amazing how quickly it changes. But he really burst onto the scene, you know, playing for Wangaratta this year. Ben Reid, the former Collingwood player, coaches up at Wangaratta, and I think gave a call to the Pies and said, you better check this guy out. They checked him out, but they weren't the only club to check him out. He had a lot of interest from a lot of other clubs. The Giants, Port Adelaide was another couple of clubs that I heard were contemplating taking Joe Richards. He probably did slide a little bit. I was expecting the Pies maybe to pick him with their second pick, but Jacob Ryan, who was actually linked to their first pick, slid into the late 20s. So they went on back to their draft board and Richards slid into the 40s. And, you know, it is a terrific story. I think they can see him not only slotting into a halfback role next year, but they can actually see him slotting into a halfback role in round one. They got high expectations that he can play an immediate role at the Pies, which is remarkable considering this is a club that went within, you know, 1 point of a grand final this year. And then, Tom Emmett, who was, you know, has beaten cancer, had a lot of setbacks in terms of not being drafted as well, had a big year in the sandfall, powerful, big medium forward, kicked 17 goals in 14 games for Sturt this year, club's best emerging talent. Two great stories of persistence. And again, another example that even if you don't get drafted this year, and there's some pretty good talent still left on the table after the rookie draft, there are still not only other ways to get into AFL club list these days via the pre-season supplemental selection period and also the mid-season draft, but you go back to your state league and earn your stripes there and impress there at that level, and that it can do wonders for you. So, two really good examples of persistence there through Tom Emmett and Joe Richards.
And Tom Emmett, that subtype of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was the world first diagnosis that he overcome. Drafted the day before his 21st birthday, so that's really special. We could go on all night. Steely Green, whose mum named him after Steely Dan, has never listened to any of their music, apparently. He got struck by lightning while sailing a boat and now is with Richmond. Yep. Jed Buslinger in 2012 was the Oz kicker of the year, getting a photo with Joel Selwood. He goes at pick 12, and we spoke about Max Grzuski. So there's so much feel-good, Benny, but I know that you guys at Fox Footy and Fox Sports like to give your gradings and like to rank the draft hands, how each club performed. Oregon, maybe one of the toughest years to pick who had the best draft, but just give us a couple of clubs that you think absolutely nailed the brief, got best players available, and also filled needs that needed to be filled first and foremost.
Yeah, the two clubs, there's four clubs that come to mind. The Blues and the Roos in particular. The Blues have a lot of inside midfielders already. So they went with speed and outside pace with their first three picks this year. A big, big kick, I think, for the Blues. They got their men there. The Kangaroos, it's pretty hard to miss when you got pick two and three. But they picked up Harry Sheasel, who could play round one next year, and a Toby Green-style small forward, very elusive.
Yeah.
George Wardlaw, Clayton Oliver-style inside midfielder. Braden George could be one of the best players to come out of this draft class. Did his ACL pretty late in the year, so we won't see him much next year. But sort of think Jake Stringer, think Jordan Degoe in terms of that explosive, powerful medium forward. So the Blues and the Roos really ticked the box from that perspective. St Kilda drafted really well. They'll be stoked to get Mateus Philippou at pick 10. He had interest from the Bombers at pick 4, but he slipped to pick 10 in the end. They got one of the best ready-made key defenders in James Van Ayres. They got Ollie Houghton, the son of Trent Houghton, who is he could play round one next year. Big development from him. So big kicks for them, for the Saints. And then the West Coast Eagles in particular. In the first round, two WA-based talents. We know that the Eagles traded out of the top end of the draft with that mega trade involving Jason Horne-Francis and Willie Rioli during the trade period. They picked up two first-rounders, two WA-based players as well, and then got the best ruck in the draft to develop on the Nick Natanui for the next couple of years and Harry Barnett.
Yeah.
And then Kobe Bergil and Noah Long with some of two of their later picks. And Bergil and Long. Like Long was the second last player taken in the draft this year, but has the potential to play next year as a small, elusive forward.
Yes, so real X factor, that young man.
Yes, I think from Bendigo Way as well. So
yes. Hence my bias.
Yes, Sam. So I think those four clubs in particular really appealed, and I think should be pretty happy with the draft. But obviously, it's very preemptive. Everyone wins the draft at this time of year. I think from a needs perspective and with the picks available and the talent available, I think those four clubs did very well.
Help me understand. I was just having a look that 70 players were drafted or rookie listed from 886 nominations. Is that shallow? I know we're talking about a lot of good players and you've mentioned that. Is that shallower than normal?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's probably including the rookie draft as well. And that will include players re-rookied, and the rookie list is a totally different conversation, potentially a chat for another day.
We'll do a whole podcast on that, Benny. A whole podcast. Kane Corns, it's already number one with a bullet on his agenda for next year, I think.
And I think rightly so. It's probably become what it wasn't meant to be initially, just a lot of redrafting, and that's a result of different ways to get into an AFL list now through the supplemental selection period and the mid-season draft as well. So a lot of redrafting went on that rookie draft, which made it, a little bit silly. But it is shallow, Bryce, to answer your question. I think, normally we've had, certainly from a national draft perspective, we've had normally picks, in the 60s and 70s in previous years, but I think it was 59 in the national draft this year, and only probably 11 fresh faces in the rookie draft as well, with a lot of AFL players essentially being recycled through their lists as well. So a little shallow. And I think the expectation as well, going back to Sydney, what you were talking about, Sam, beforehand, how they traded out one of those picks as well in the first round. But they actually got into next year's draft, and that was something that Kinnear Beetson flagged in the lead up to the draft as well, is that they are keen on next year's draft because it is seen overall as a deeper draft, and there's probably a little bit more juice at the top of the draft as well in terms of talent. So I think that was part of their thinking as well, and that's the thing with future trading as well. Clubs have got to weigh up, how much do we want to invest in this draft compared to next year's draft, which, could be fantastic in 12 years' time, but a lot can change in, 12 months' time, but a lot can change in 12 months' time. So it is such a different landscape now, the whole draft situation, compared to what it was 10 years ago.
Benny, always great to catch up. Comprehensive and insightful as ever, mate. Thanks so much for giving us your view and having a yarn to us today on Sports Day.
Good on you, boys. Have a good night.
Draft guru from Fox Footy, Fox Sports, Ben Waterworth. Plenty more still to come. That's another conversation for another day. The rookie situation is a farce. They are taking the P155. And then plenty more still to come. Sam Hargraves, Bryce McGain with you on Sports Day.